In 2004, the United Church of Christ produced a series of ads with a new tagline for the denomination that simply read, "God is still speaking." Well, this simple statement, of course, stirred up a bit of controversy in the church world, with pastors and scholars from diverse denominations lining up to offer their opinion on just how, if, and when the God of the universe speaks to us. Well, the pages of Scripture present God as a creative communicator, one who provides wisdom, guidance, and correction through many different ways. David heard from God while meditating on the created world and nature. He wrote in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims God's handiwork. The day pours out speech and the night reveals knowledge." God spoke to Joseph and Jacob through dreams in Genesis, to Moses through a burning bush, and the high priest through his breastplate in the book of Exodus. God spoke to Isaiah through visions, to Balaam through his donkey. Daniel heard from God through angels, and a variety of prophets experienced God in even more crazy ways. And the author of the book of Hebrews, the author of today's passage, he backs up this fact, writing, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Jesus arrived on the earth in a manger in Bethlehem, the Word from heaven becoming flesh and dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews wants to impart to us today, that Jesus, the Son, speaks a better word. And we really don't know much about this author of the book of Hebrews. We really don't know who wrote it. Unlike other biblical writers, this author writes nothing about his identity or the identity of those to whom he's writing. Church Father Origen once said, "The identity of the author of Hebrews is known to God alone." And yet, there's so much to learn from this profound book that reads more like a sermon than a letter. It's a call to action from a pastor's heart to a struggling first century congregation. Chapter 10 of Hebrews offers clues that attendance is a bit down in this little church. Our Hebrew pastor pleads with the congregation to not forsake assembling together, because experiencing worship together is the lifeblood of a community of Christ followers. It's how we stay connected. In chapter 12, we learn that many in this congregation are suffering. They're in need of encouragement, some in desperate need of renewal. Some are struggling to hold on to their faith amidst all the pain. And the pastor encourages them to lay aside every weight, if they can, every sin that holds them back, and to persevere by looking to the Son, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And the pastor begins with this short history lesson of God's communication, that in the past he spoke to our ancestors through prophets, but in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son. As wonderful as the prophets were in bringing the word of God to the people, the Son speaks a better word. The Son is the firstborn over all creation. The Son is the creator through whom God spoke into being the world. The Son is the heir of all things, who upholds and sustains all of creation with one word. And the Son came to the earth to reveal the Father and to connect with us. He demonstrated with his life that he is the express image and nature of the Father, He told the disciples, "If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. Watch the way I live, and that's how my God is. So watch and imitate me. Take up your cross and follow me as I will." And the cross would become the enduring symbol for the church, the icon through which God speaks mercy and forgiveness and grace. Look around our building. We have no shortage of the icon of the cross, much in part thanks to Lee, who just loves the cross. So we have it everywhere, inside and out. Lee and I were talking the other day about how some churches and some theologians have moved away from the cross. Some theologians suggest the cross should no longer be used as a symbol for our faith. They say it glorifies violence and bloodshed and death. But the pastor to the Hebrews would disagree. He says that the blood of the Son speaks a better word. Through his death on the cross, the Son tasted death for everyone. Through the cross, the Son provided purification for sins and set us free from guilt and shame. Through the cross, God reconciled all things to himself by making peace through the blood of the cross. The writer of the Hebrews says, with no cross, there is no resurrection, no ascending to the right hand of the Father, no pouring out his Spirit to dwell in us, to be with us and empower us. Through the cross, through Jesus and the Spirit, a new wineskin, a new mode of communication from God was birthed. And what a privilege it is for us to live in these days. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Are we still stuck in what God did that we are resistant to what God is doing? Are we placing a period where God has placed a comma by saying that God is not speaking in certain ways? And in days like this, where there's much suffering and struggling in our church and in our world, perhaps more than ever, we need a word from God today. And the fact is, all of us who follow Christ have everything we need to experience God's presence and hear God's voice. That's why we take much time here to still ourselves so that we can hear. We have everything we need. All we have to do is tune our antenna to the voice, quiet ourselves, quiet our spirits, and let God speak. Because John says that we have received an anointing from the Son. An anointing that abides in us and lives in us, makes home in our humble abodes, our bodies. And we have no need for anyone to teach us, John says, because the Spirit teaches us as we make our home in Christ, as we position ourselves to hear. So how do we position ourselves to hear the voice of God? Well, the pastor to the Hebrews puts an emphasis on experience. He says, put yourself in position to hear. Get in the game. Don't limit God. Don't forsake coming to worship. You can hear God's voice as you sing and pray and as you gather around the table together. You may even hear God during a sermon. If God can speak through a donkey, well, then anything is possible. This week, I discovered a new way that God can communicate, through a pair of camouflage shorts. Bear with me. So Sonia and I were in Florida for a few days this week, and in this peaceful place of sugar sand beaches and emerald waters, I was visited by an unwelcome and familiar foe. I woke up in the wee hours of the morning with my stomach churning, my heart sprinting at full speed. My legs felt as if they had been lit on fire like a tiki torch. My mind jumping like a frog from one unhelpful conclusion and thought to another. I had not experienced anxiety like this in a long time. And I remember now that anxiety makes it very difficult for me to experience God. When it comes, I have trouble being still. I have trouble reading the scriptures and discerning what the Spirit is saying through them. My prayers are often shortened to one or two words like help. But I believe and have experienced that God meets us right where we are. And in the wee hours before sunrise one morning, I awoke to a strange but vivid dream, short and simple. In the dream, Sonia spoke to me and said, "You know, I don't look very good in camouflage, but you do. You should buy a pair of camouflage shorts." Now, first of all, I don't think I've ever in my life worn camouflage, and Sonia would look good in a clown suit. So what she said was absurd, but this was a dream after all. So I woke up from this strange dream, and I did not tell Sonia about the dream. But as I sat drinking my coffee and meditated, my thoughts turned to the promise of Pentecost and a reminder from the Spirit, from the book of Acts, that Jesus poured out his Spirit on us so that sons and daughters could prophesy, that young men could see visions, and old men would dream dreams. So I took that to mean that this old man could dream dreams and God could speak through them. And so later that morning, I decided to head out in the car, and I was driving down the road and felt compelled to pull into this clothing store and head right to the clearance rack where I found these. Just my size and half price. Just the way I like it.
You're a real Texan now.
I'm a real Texan. I'm a wannabe camouflage wearer. But I still didn't really understand what that mean, what it meant, why I had camouflage on. But Sonia would soon clarify that without even knowing anything about the dream, anything about camouflage. As I was driving around, she knew that I was struggling that morning. In fact, the last words that I had spoken from my mouth was, "I feel like I'm at war." And I didn't put these things together. But as I was leaving the clothing shop, I got a text from Sonia, and the text was she had copied Psalm 27. It was in celebration of our 27th anniversary, but it had much more meaning when I read it. Psalm 27 reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes stumble and fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. God shall hide me. He shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall hide me in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me and set me high upon a rock." That was a good word to receive. Gave me reason to wear these camouflage shorts.
Can I tell them why I even sent it?
Yes.
So, I'm at the beach and there's a man there who sets up chairs that I've been talking to. And he happens to be from Burleson. So we're talking, and I knew it was our 27th wedding anniversary, and sometimes I'm like, I wonder what the scripture says for that, you know, Psalm 27. And I'd said that a week before, but I never looked it up. Mm-hmm. You know, like it kind of just left my mind. Mm-hmm. So I'm standing there talking to this young man, and he has this tattoo on his leg. And I say to him, "So, what is that tattoo? What is it?" He says, Psalm 27. And but here's the thing. I didn't put it together, right? I'm like, oh, cool. You know, so I'm like, what is that scripture again? It didn't even click. I feel like God was kind of laughing, like, Sonia, hello. I sit on my beach chair, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's Psalm 27. I was going to look that up. I go look it up, and I was just like, God is kind and faithful. Gets it through our heads sometimes. Can you make it up? Can you make that up?
So, if you were to ask us if God still speaks, and all of us have this privilege, all of us have been given this birthright to hear from God. The book of Romans tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. And just as the Son experienced an intimate relationship with the Father who still speaks, so have we inherited a relationship with a God who speaks encouragement to our hearts when our marriages are struggling, speaks peace and wisdom when our children make poor choices, speaks hope when we lose our jobs, when we can't pay the rent, or when we lose someone dear to our heart. And God also speaks to us when times are better, when we're thriving. Speaks to us to keep us humble, to show us new paths to walk in, to show us hope that our bodies will recover and heal. And when they do, that we can have a new lease on life. We can get a new job like Don starts tomorrow. In times of both darkness and light, God speaks to us through shorts and tattoos and all kinds of ways. And of course, our scripture, and as we pray together, and through the table, and the sacraments, and the hymns, and in so many ways, God just wants us to hear his voice, wants us to pay attention, and wants us to engage and experience that voice. And so that's the best thing that we can do. Sometimes we have to be just a little bit gullible. We have to believe. And if we have a dream in the middle of the night, a strange dream, whatever it is, but it's vivid, I think God desires that we spend time with him. And it may be just the pizza that we had the night before, but maybe not. There's only one way to be sure, right? If you hear a word of encouragement or correction, sit with it. Take them to God in prayer. Ask the Spirit within to help you test the word. Show you what the word means. Use it to activate your feet and hands to engage in the action that God wants you to take. We are the body of Christ, and what a privilege it is to be the body of Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters of Christ, as the writer of the Hebrews says. And as we move forward as a community who gather every week with Jesus the Son as the head of our community, we need to know what the Son is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying to our church. And we don't want to live on old revelation. We don't have to. We don't have to go through the motions. Every day we can receive daily bread as we pray, when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, our fresh manna, a new word from heaven, to go along with the wonderful old words we've received. We need to put our antenna up to receive the word of God who is still speaking in a variety of ways. God is still speaking to us individually and as a community. And our job is to position ourselves to hear and respond. I'm so grateful this week that despite my attempts to not hear and respond, God would not give up on me through shorts and tattoos and all kinds of things. And so, God, I ask for that for all of us, each one of us individually, that you would shock and awe us this week that you would show us new ways to speak to us, that you would open our ears and grant us the wisdom to hear and to act, to walk in your will. And we ask all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.